You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's February 12th, 2026, and welcome to episode 170 of Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast, and happy Valentine's Day in advance. I am your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you very much for tuning into the show this morning. On this week's episode, I'm going to be talking about the game Cairn. But we start the show with a look at the headlines from this past week. Sony has announced a new PlayStation State of Play, which will be airing later today at 2 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Central Time, and the hype is building because it is scheduled to last over an hour and feature, quote, news, gameplay updates, and announcements from game studios across the globe. Now, I know I've personally been burned by the last few State of Plays. Sony has really been struggling, I think, to get a consistent flow of quality games out this generation. But I am going to open myself up to heartbreak again, because I think this one has the potential to be a pretty big one. So what can we expect? There will no doubt be plenty of third-party and indies shown, but the real meat and potatoes are the first-party studios. So let's take a look at what everyone might be working on right now. Team Asobi has presumably moved on to their next game after the big success of Astrobot. My guess is that they are working on some sort of direct sequel that would be the smart play, but I think it is probably too early to see that yet. Doesn't quite feel that time. Guerrilla just announced Horizon Hunter's Gathering, a poorly titled co-op game set in the Horizon world with a kind of Fortnite-esque visual style. It's said that the majority of the studio is on this game, so this is the next big thing, not Horizon 3, and I think there's a pretty decent bet that we get a good look at it today. Housemarque is nearing the release of Saros in April, so that also makes a lot of sense for us to get a good look at, even though it kind of feels like we've already seen a decent amount of that game. I'm sure it's going to make an appearance. Bungie is launching Marathon next month, and I think they will likely try to build some hype for it with a good new look at the game. Everybody seems to be a little bit lukewarm on it so far, so they could use something new to get people on board. I don't think we know anything yet from studios like Bend or Media Molecule, so pretty much leaves, I think, Insomniac, Naughty Dog, and Santa Monica Studios. All three of those guys have big games in the pipeline. We've got Wolverine, which is supposedly still launching this year, so we should, I would say, pretty surely get a look at it later today, even if it's just a tease for, you know, what could be a dedicated showcase later on. Naughty Dog, I don't know what's up with them and this game. They seem to be going through some stuff, a little bumpy over there. And it sounds like that this game could still be a ways off. So I don't think we'll see Intergalactic. And then Santa Monica, I think there's a pretty decent chance that we get a tease for Corey Barlog's next game, and I'm hoping personally that it is something completely original. I think that would be really cool to see them, to see him and them kind of step away from God of War and do something risky. I think so many of Sony's studios kind of play it fairly safe, and I'd love to see them really branch out and try something outside of their normal wheelhouse. But we shall see in just a few hours. I feel like it's pretty rare these days to be genuinely surprised by a video game. And I don't mean like, I didn't see that twist in the story coming or some, you know, cool new gameplay mechanic. I mean a game that as a whole conceptually is something totally unexpected and unique. And when it happens, you're reminded that there are still great new ideas out there and that video games are capable of telling such amazing stories. And Cairn is a game that really did that for me. It surprised me. The 30-second elevator pitch is that Cairn is a mountain climbing game. You play as Ava, a seasoned climber, as she attempts to reach the summit of the fictional Mount Cami. I think it's Cami. And while that is essentially what this game is, it doesn't tell the whole story of what makes this game so special. It all comes down to, for me, the mechanics and the story. There have been lots of games that have featured climbing before, tons of games where you're climbing, but none have ever captured the full range of emotions and experiences that come with that. When you start the game and you approach a climbing surface, you press square to get into your sort of climbing mode, and that gives you control one at a time of each of Ava's limbs. And the game is smartly able to intuit which limb makes the most sense to move next, even though you can kind of override that and do what you want. So you'll press square to, let's say, lift your left leg. Then you use the analog stick to kind of move it around and find where you want to place it, and then press square again to plant it. And then you repeat going around with your arms and your legs. From a control perspective, functionally, the climbing is, you know, fairly simple, easy to get, but it's all about taking your time and being smart about what your next move is, finding just the right foothold or ledge to grab onto. Part of what makes it so brilliant is that you can really tackle the mountain in any way that you want. There's no, you know, path that you need to take. You really need to survey the scene and decide where you want to start from and really look around. I imagine that people could have wildly different experiences depending on, you know, how they decide to go and what they'll see along the way, as opposed to someone who goes in a different direction. And it gets downright harrowing. As you climb, you'll need to focus on your stamina. You know, your arms and legs will start to shake when they're getting tired, and you'll need to, like, I think you press Y, you can kind of shake it out, or you've got to move really quick before they give out. And if you fall, it could be a long and very likely deadly fall to the bottom. You can use pitons, though, to screw into the rock and latch your rope onto, giving you kind of like a customizable checkpoint that you can place wherever you want in case you slip. But they are limited, and you'll need to be smart about how you use them. You know, if you use them all up too soon, you may have a long climb up to the top without any support. And once you reach a flat surface, you can send your little robot companion. He's kind of a little spidery dude who's with you through the entire game. You can send him down to kind of collect them again and bring them up to you to reuse for the next portion of the climb. And if you find a kind of specially marked area in a flat surface, you can pitch your tent to rest or sleep and prepare for the next leg of the climb. Here in the tent, you can retape your fingers, which improves your grip, You can repair broken pitons that have shattered while you're climbing. You can check the weather. And most importantly, you can cook by using your little stove and the resources that you find, like water or mushrooms, herbs, all sorts of stuff, flowers. You can craft recipes to make food and drink that you can throw in your backpack and have for the journey. And those items are really crucial to the success in this game, to keeping your thirst and your hunger down, because if those bottom out, you will black out, and that can be very, very bad depending on when and where it happens. The freedom and challenge of the climb is exhilarating, whether it's the incredible relief and thrill of pulling yourself up onto a ledge after a treacherous 30-minute climb and looking out at the landscape down below you, or the fear of clinging to the side of a cliff in the black of night while the rain is pouring down and your stamina's running low. It's an emotional roller coaster that is really kind of unlike anything that I've played before, and I can't stop playing. I'm thinking about this game all the time. Maybe my favorite thing, or one of my favorite things, are the bits of story scattered throughout. You know, it's sparse. They don't beat you over the head with it, but what's there is really interesting. And the audio messages that she gets from friends back home paints a fascinating picture of a woman clinging to the thrill and the danger of something that she has dedicated her entire life to, even though it means having to leave those who love her behind for long stretches of time, and they're worried about her. I haven't finished the game yet. I'm like, I don't know, 6-8 hours into it. But I'm just as interested to see more of her story and those relationships as I am to hopefully reach the summit of Mount Kami. It's only February, and I've only played a handful of new games this year so far, but I would say it's a pretty safe bet that Cairn is going to be on my Game of the Year list come December, if not very near the top. So go play this game. This week, I wanted to send a special thank you out to some folks. I've talked on the show recently about the federal occupation of Minneapolis, which continues still today. In fact, this morning, as I record this, there was a horrific car accident during an attempted ICE kidnapping. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I reached out to some folks in the games community to see if they would lend their voices to a video to call attention to what's been going on, and I got a really fantastic response. If you didn't see the video, you can find it on my social feeds, which are Blue Sky, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm pretty proud of it, so go take a look if you have the time. And thank you to everybody who helped out. Streamer and political organizer Riverboat Jack, the co-founder of 6-1 Indie, Kyle Stevenson, co-creator of 70% Complete, Phil Bothan, editor-in-chief of ButWhyThough.com, or .net, I'm sorry, Kate Sanchez, executive editor at Game Informer, Brian Shea, and co-founder of Nextlander, Alex Navarro. This is an incredible lineup of really talented people, and I am so grateful to them for all that they do. So again, check out the video if you have the chance. Thank you for your continued support, and fuck ICE. Thank you for listening to Midlife SideQuest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I am your host, John Wall. Have a fantastic rest of your week, and don't forget to save.